Sound of Vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mo Mootsy, a solo episode, mainly because I'm in a rush. Today is a bittersweet day. I know this is the episode a lot of you guys have been waiting for. My Boston Celtics have finally been eliminated. I know you guys have been waiting since Game 7, 2023 of the Eastern Conference Finals for the Celtics to be eliminated again. And here we are in 2025. How about that? But the sweet part about it is the game finished at 3:42 p.m. a.m. And I could, if I do this episode quickly, I can, for the first time in months, get to sleep before the sun has fully risen. I'm trying to see how far it is in the sky and how light it is. But anyway, let's get straight to it. The Boston Celtics got absolutely humiliated, destroyed, whatever you want to call it. I need to check the score, but I don't know where I put my phone. Oh, there it is. Let me check the final score because I'm going to keep it 100 with you guys. I'm going to keep it 100 and even watch the second half. 119-81. It was so embarrassing in the first half. That's all you need to hear about. So the Celtics, obviously without Jason Tatum, decided to experiment by putting Luke Kornet in the starting five. He's been a bench guy for most of the season, most of his career, really. Maybe it is better for him to come off the bench. Maybe, you know, some players, they like to come off the bench because the game can kind of settle in. They can see the flow and the rhythm of the game, and then they can come in and do their thing. It didn't work out too well. The Knicks started the game just beating down the Celtics with pace. They were running off misses. They were running off turnovers, getting out in transition. The Celtics shot 1 of 8 to start the game. They had 5 turnovers in the first quarter. The Knicks had 5 offensive rebounds in the first quarter. Cat was super aggressive. Mikal Bridges and Cat both had double digits in the first half. And for the Celtics, it was only Jaylen Brown who was doing it. I was watching Drew Holiday shoot layups that were almost not even reaching the backboard because they were just way off. In fact, in the first half, Derek White and Drew Holiday combined for 6 points on 2 of 14 shooting, 0 of 5 from the field. And I want to credit the Knicks, right? Because we can harp on about how bad the Celtics were and the game plan and whatever. Okay. The Knicks played a fantastic series. Jalen Brunson proved he's that guy. He's big time against a big time opponent. OG Anunoby guarding the Boston Celtics, doing his thing. Mikal Bridges, there was a couple games in there. He came up huge for them. Karl Anthony Towns, he didn't have a huge statistical series, but he did what was necessary to win. Mitchell Robinson, for example, in today's game, you see Mitchell Robinson come into the game. There's a possession where he rotates to all 5 Celtics, ends up closing out quicker than any guards close out to corners, closes out to Jaylen Brown, who's already dribbled once to get his rhythm before he shoots a 3. Now, all of a sudden, Jaylen Brown's trapped in the corner, turns into a steal. The Knicks go the other way, and I think they get an and one on the other end. And there was one possession that summed up the Celtics' effort in game 6. Okay, I'm not mad that they lost without Jason Tatum, okay, but it's the effort. There was a play where someone on the Knicks had a fast break and they were clear. It's like a clear basket. Jaylen Brown chases them down, blocks their shot, pins it off the backboard. And then Deuce McBride is just behind to put the ball back in the hoop. All 4 other Celtics didn't even bother running back on defense. They gave up on the play. And that's the point in the game where I decided I ain't watching no more. I ain't watching it no more. The Celtics in the first half got 0.74 points per possession. That's the worst that they've ever had since 2012. A historically bad showing. So all those people out there who say Jason Tatum is carried by a super team, shut your mouth. Clearly, you saw the Celtics miss Jason Tatum. First of all, defensive rebounding. Jason Tatum, underrated rebounder. On offense, when Jaylen Brown was gotten it going, no one else could get something. That's where Jason Tatum comes in, scores some buckets. Also on offense, the facilitating, like we talked about yesterday or the day before, whenever it was. The Celtics clearly showed why Jason Tatum is so important. And the sad part about it for them is they have to break up this team this summer because of collective bargaining agreement. And my problem with the new CBA or whatever it's called is it punishes teams for spending a certain amount of money. But if you're a team that drafts really well or trades really well, you are being punished for being good at your job. Now, I'm all for a CBA that stops free agent moves like 3 superstars teaming up like we saw in 2010 or, you know, one of the biggest stars in the world going to a 73-win team. I'm all for a CBA that stops that. But if you have drafted really well and traded really well, why are you forced to break up your team? Because the Celtics, they've obviously got Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum on Supermax contracts. They also have Derek White, who they traded Romeo Langford for, who they drafted. They have Drew Holiday, who they traded Malcolm Brogdon for, and they traded for Malcolm Brogdon using Aaron Nesmith, who they drafted. So because they have been so good at drafting, and they've obviously got Porzingis, who they drafted Marcus Smart and traded him for Porzingis, because they drafted so well and then were able to use their players in trades, they are now being forced to break up a team this summer. I don't know what the team will look like this summer. The assumption is Jaylen Brown will be on the move. However, if they can keep Brown and Tatum and move Porzingis and move Drew Holiday, then I think that's the way to go. But we're not going to talk about them. They're eliminated. My Boston Celtics are in Cancun. You guys can run all the jokes you want. I know you guys have been waiting for this. You can run all the jokes you want. It's cool. It's cool. My Celtics are going to Cancun. LeBron's waiting for them on the beach. The Warriors are waiting for them on the beach. Draymond's waiting there. It's all good. But let's give the Knicks some credit. They played a fantastic series. Credit to Tom Thibodeau. Credit to Josh Hart, an absolute warrior while he's out there. Listen, shout out to the Knicks. I'm very excited for the Eastern Conference Finals. It's their first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years. The Knicks fans should be rejoicing. There's Knicks fans who listen to the show. There's Knicks fans who go to the games in the arena. Knicks fans in the UK and the world who have never seen their team win anything. So you guys, you have your turn this year. Go ahead and get it. You're playing the Pacers in the Conference Finals. It's going to be a very interesting series. We're going to break that down after the Game 7 on Sunday. But one thing I do want to talk about is the Karl-Anthony Towns for Julius Randle trade. It's rare in the NBA that trades work out for both teams. And a lot of people, they like to judge trades way too early. For example, the Haliburton and Sabonis trade. And people are like, oh, it's a win-win. But then fast forward a couple years and now it doesn't look like a win-win anymore. But then if Mr. Perry and Mr. Armstrong do a great job in Sacramento and if Sabonis is there, then they win a championship and all of a sudden it doesn't look like a great trade for the Pacers if they don't win this year. So I don't like judging trades on like who won and so on and so forth. But I do like the fact that Julius Randle and Karl-Anthony Towns got traded and both of their teams made it to the conference finals in their first season. So shout out to both of those guys. Immediately contributing in their new homes. DiVincenzo as well, part of that deal. So, you know, all in all, I don't know what the future of the Boston Celtics looks like. All I do know is that relying on the three-point shot so much, sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe, well, you saw what happened tonight and in the rest of this series. But let's talk about Game 7 because we had some heartbreaking news. Aaron Gordon, I don't know if he's ruled out, but they say he strained his hamstring. I don't know if he's going to play in Game 7. I really hope he does. He's had the best playoffs of his career. He's been so important to these Nuggets on both sides of the basketball. He's been making huge shots. He's had two game winners on the buzzer in these playoffs. Well, the second one wasn't really on the buzzer. But it's absolutely devastating for him if he misses Game 7. I really don't want this Game 7 to be a blowout. You want a Game 7 to be close. You want overtime, ideally. I talked about the MVP award. It's pretty funny. I talked about that a few days ago. And then yesterday, all the hot take eyes on their network channels come out and they talk about that. Cool. Anyway, I want them to announce MVP just before the game. I don't know what their plans are with that. But you have to favor the OKC Thunder now. With Aaron Gordon not playing, or if he does play, he's going to be significantly limited, I guess, by the hamstring. I don't think that's something they can give you like a shot for, like a shot of adrenaline or whatever they give these guys shots of to repair injuries. But I don't know. We're gonna find out. You don't know. You might get someone step up. Like, can Peyton Watson do something? Can Julius Strother have another big game? And can Michael Porter Jr., Russell Westbrook? We don't know. We don't know. And it's obviously a lot of pressure for the OKC Thunder being in a situation like this against Jokic and Murray. They'll be playing in their seventh Game 7s. I think it's going to be their first ever Game 7 on the road, except for the Disney bubble where they played a couple Game 7s as well. So they're obviously very experienced in these win-or-go-home situations. Not the same thing for the OKC Thunder. We're going to see if Jalen Williams can bounce back. He's been having a rough series. Chet really needs to step up and be the number two option on this team. And Shea needs to play like the MVP because I think he's going to win the award. It's going to be very interesting. But actually, you know what? Let me circle back to the New York Knicks. I want to commend Mr. Scott Perry, who is now the general manager of the Sacramento Kings, for being the one who laid the foundations for the New York Knicks to turn their franchise from a laughingstock, let's just be honest, that's what it was, to now being a serious contender. When he went there to New York, he turned around the culture Okay? These are just facts. And you see the guys, Mitchell Robinson contributing great. You see McBride. You see, you know, they brought in Julius Randle when a lot of people around the league didn't have the same opinion. And he turned things around, got them back to the playoffs. And then they managed to use Julius Randle to go and get Karl-Anthony Towns. They went and got acquired Brunson as well as a free agent. So shout out to Mr. Perry. You know the vibes. I traded for Josh Hart. You know the vibes. That's just what he does. I want to shout out to my OG. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my OG. Now he's over there in Sacramento. He's going to turn around the fortunes of the Kings as well. So stay ready for that. But I'm going to be real with you guys. The Celtics got beaten to a pulp. It's 4 a.m. now. The sun is almost about to come out. So it's only been 10 minutes, but that's today's episode. I hope you understand. And you guys, it's a Saturday for you when you listen to this. So I know you don't want to be listening to me ramble on a Saturday. I want you guys to go out and enjoy yourself. There's no NBA tonight. So I want each and every one of you to live life to the fullest. And we'll be back Sunday night, 8:30 UK time. Oh, what a delight. Early tip off. Game 7. Nuggets. Thunder. I'm having the boys over. I'm cooking up a feast. I'll post it on my IG, my personal IG, if you follow me there. And just in case the game's a blur, at least I'll have a good time with my friends. But I hope you guys enjoy your weekends. And subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. And until next time. Actually, I've got to say one thing before I go. Because I talked about Mitchell Robinson. There was one possession that really pissed me off. Excuse my language. This is a family-friendly show. There was one possession. Jaylen Brown is running a pick and roll. Okay? And the idea is to get the big switched onto you so that you can blow by them, get to the hoop. Gets Mitchell Robinson to switch onto him. But because Mitchell Robinson was playing with so much defensive energy, he gets the switch off the pick and roll. Now he's matched up with Mitchell Robinson. And he immediately just passes the ball. So what the hell was the point in the pick and roll? But let me not get started. Let me just not. I'm going to bed. Anyway, you guys, subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple. Until next time, get buckets.